Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition, heard across the East End on 88.3 WLIW-FM, in Western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. A growing number of Long Islanders are turning in recent years to food banks, such as Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Food Bank, and Island Harvest, as well as local food pantries across Nassau and Suffolk counties. Officials said they're currently seeing an increase in demand amid rising costs for essentials like food and gasoline. Olivia Winslow reports on Newsday.com that rising costs are affecting the food bank's operating budgets as well, and officials worry that donations are down. Because of inflation and because of the increase in the cost of goods, which is estimated at increasing by approximately 35%, that 35% increase in the cost of goods is being passed on to food banks, said Paula T. Pachter, chief executive of Long Island Cares. Pachter said that in September 2021, Long Island Cares purchased 2.6 million pounds of food. Compared to this September, where we had to buy more food because the need was high, we purchased 2.8 million pounds of food, said the chief executive of Long Island Cares. The costs have risen accordingly. Pachter said the food bank budgeted $1.9 million for food between January and September of 2022, and we actually spent $2.7 million, said Pachter. Jessica Rosati, Long Island Cares chief programs officer, said the organization provided 813,385 meals this year, up almost 500,000 from last year. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has signed legislation that allows college athletes to make money. Quote, "For too long, collegiate student athletes have not been able to benefit from the extraordinary benefits their hard work has provided to their schools," Hochul said in a press release. The new law specifically allows students to profit off their name, image, or likeness without risking their scholarships, according to the legislative language. Zach Williams in the New York Post reports that student athletes would also be allowed to hire attorneys and agents to represent them under the new law, fully taking effect January 1, 2023. Quote, "Receiving a scholarship should not be the basis to deny athletes further compensation, especially when many of them come from traditionally marginalized communities where making ends meet is a day-to-day dilemma," State Senator Kevin Parker, a Democrat from Flatbush, who sponsored the bill in his chamber, said. Supporters of the new law say student athletes deserve a cut of the billions raked in each year by American colleges and their athletic department, especially considering the hard work they put into their sports. With new balloons flying over Manhattan, more than 3.5 million spectators lining the streets, and performers, including the cast of the Broadway musical Funny Girl, nothing is predicted to rain on this year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. John Asbury reports on Newsday.com that the parade is expected to return in full force this year after fans faced some COVID-19 restrictions last year, including proof of vaccination and a prohibition on children marching. The weather is expected to be suitable. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade begins at 77th Street and Central Park West at 8:45 a.m. on Thursday and ends at the Macy's store at Herald Square. Several aspects about the October 6th private plane crash that killed a local pilot when a wing fell off soon after taking flight in East Hampton may suggest possible causes, including a missing nut, aviation crash experts say. That nut should have helped secure the bolt attaching the right wing, the one that came off, to the right strut, which supports the wing. Joan Grala reports on Newsday.com that in a recent preliminary report, the National Transportation Safety Board revealed the nut was gone, though the bolt's threads were intact. The undamaged threads, the experts say, show the nut was not ripped off in flight. Noting the NTSB has yet to issue its probable cause finding, Michael F. Canders, Aviation Center Director at Farmingdale State College, said, "When one piece of hardware like that is missing, it can, over time, maybe create a vibration or some other stress on the wing that could have a disastrous result." J. Michael Davis, an associate professor of aeronautical engineering technology at Purdue University, added, "Who knows if it were ever torqued properly? It could have just fallen off." Though the impact of the crash separated the left wing strut from the wing, its bolt remained secure with the nut, the report said. The NTSB Materials Laboratory is examining both right and left wing strut assemblies, according to the report. The right wing, according to the NTSB, landed in a tree 770 feet away from the rest of the C-MAX M-22 amphibious aircraft, which came down in shallow water in Three Mile Harbor, north of the town of East Hampton. As the town of Southampton moves toward its goal of meeting all its energy needs through the renewable energy sources by 2025, and community members seek ways to cut ever-increasing energy consumption costs, the town board will hold a public hearing next month on zoning code provisions designed to regulate solar energy systems. Key are new sections related to commercial properties. As quoted on 27east.com, "We have these goals we're trying to meet, and renewable energy is a big path to that, particularly for CO2 emissions. The more we can be dependent on renewable energy, it helps," said Councilman John Bouvier, sponsor of the legislation. He made note of a constant problem with LIPA and rates, the third highest in the country. Kitty Merrill reports on 27east.com that while the Southampton Town Code has spoken to solar energy for residential uses with provisions dating to 2011, a new section focuses on commercial solar. The amendments before the town board seek to codify standards and a process for solar energy system installations that go beyond residential, senior planner Michelangelo Lieberman explained to the Southampton Town Board, and they'll be pursuing that at a meeting next month. Turkey trots are back in Matatuck and Montauk on Thanksgiving morning. Beth Young of East End Beacon reports that the Matatuck Cutchog Turkey Trot, to benefit the high school senior scholarship fund, starts at 9 a.m. on Thursday. You may register online or beginning 7:30 Thanksgiving morning at Matatuck Junior Senior High School. Montauk's 46th annual Turkey Run for Fun, which benefits the Montauk, East Hampton, and Springs food pantries and Meals on Wheels, begins at 10 a.m. on Thursday. Bib pickup begins Thanksgiving morning at 8 a.m. at the Circle in the center of downtown on Montauk Highway, or on Wednesday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Montauk Visitor Center. While Representative Lee Zeldin, the Republican from Shirley, Long Island, came up short in his bid to become the first Republican governor of New York State since George Pataki's tenure ended in 2006, the congressman handily won his home county of Suffolk. A further breakdown of unofficial results from the Suffolk County Board of Elections shows the race between Congressman Zeldin and Governor Kathy Hochul, the Democrat, who won the election, was much tighter on the East End. Joe Werkmeister in the Suffolk Times reports that Governor Hochul's popularity on the predominantly blue South Fork gave her a slight advantage when vote totals from all five East End towns were tabulated. Unofficial results show Hochul received 31,264 votes compared to 30,834 for Zeldin. The congressman had the advantage in East Hampton, Shelter Island, and Southampton, although the extremely tight margin in Southampton could still change. Of the five East End towns, Riverhead favored Zeldin by the widest margin. He won by 23 percentage points there. Zeldin had the sizable advantage in the larger western towns of Brookhaven, Islip, and Smithtown. He nearly doubled Hochul's vote total in Smithtown, which helped him easily win Suffolk County overall. The race for the reshaped 1st Congressional District between Republican Nick LaLota, who defeated Democrat Bridget Fleming to win the seat vacated by Congressman Zeldin, indicates that Fleming, a county legislator representing the South Fork across all five East End towns, received 32,305 votes compared to 28,990 for LaLota. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.